This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I am your host, Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope and reason across this great nation. Great to have you with us today. Man, what a very bad weekend, ladies and gentlemen. What a mess. And we're gonna get to all of it here in the next little while, trying to put in all the big stories, because there was just a lot of awful news. Most of it centered around Islamic extremism. And there are growing calls in this nation to pay very close attention to what's happening with the number of Islamists that are being allowed to enter the United States. And quite frankly, and here's what needs to be done, and I want to rip the Band-Aid off here, but every single radical Islamist needs to be deported. Every single radicalized mosque needs to be shut down. And those people need to be deported immediately. The reality is, and I've heard the, I've heard all the slogans and the sloganeering. Not all terrorists are Muslims. Not Muslims are not terrorists. I've heard all of that, ladies and gentlemen. And I will tell you that I don't believe any of it. Not one bit. And I think that over the course of the past, two decades, we have watched an untold number of Islamists coming into the country, and maybe we thought they were good-hearted. Maybe we had our, maybe our leaders had our best interest at heart. I don't think so. But I think that there is something nefarious going on here, and otherwise we would have nipped this in the bud after 9/11. But after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, which people don't even like to talk about much anymore, right? They just want to sort of gloss over. And you hear our elected leaders talking about, well, it's not a matter of if, but when. No, the when's already happened. The when happened on September 11th, 2001. That's when the when happened. And they don't like to talk about the fact that the incident, the thing that occurred on September 11th, 2001, is very clear. It was jihad. They were waging jihad in the name of their religion, the religion of peace. And let me be clear, Islam is not a religion of peace. It is a religion of conquering and oppression. And you don't have to believe me. Just read their books. Read the Quran. You'll see it for yourself. So what's happening right now, and years ago, Glenn Beck talked about this. When he was on Fox News Channel, many of you remember those days, with Glenn and the big chalkboard, and he used to write out all these things, and man, that was a crazy show. People thought he was nuts, but Glenn Beck was actually warning people at the time about the caliphate and how the caliphate wants to conquer the entire world, and they want to set up Sharia law. And Sharia, and I say Sharia law, Sharia means the law, so it's sort of a, I should just say Sharia. But that's what they want to do, and they're conquering. It's amazing how quickly the countries are falling. I mean, look at what's happening in France, where they've canceled a massive annual New Year's Eve festivity because, well, they're concerned about terrorism. So they're just canceling these things. Look at what's happening in the UK right now, where you can't even talk about Jesus in the public marketplace, or else you will be arrested. You will be charged. You can't say anything negative about the Islamist, or you would be charged with a hate crime. I mean, what's happening right now in the UK is just appalling. Just appalling. Not surprising, but it's just appalling. And all of that stuff would have happened here, by the way, had Donald Trump not been reelected to office. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But you've got some lawmakers up on Capitol Hill who are now sounding the alarms. And let me be very clear here. We have got to address this. And if we do not, this country will fall. And I'm just telling you, when you look at the rapidly declining birth rates of the Protestants in this country, and you Catholics too, when you look at how quickly the Islamists are getting married and having multiple children, it's only the numbers. It's only a matter of numbers. That's what we're looking at now. I know Congressman Chip Roy is very concerned, and he wants to introduce legislation that would put a pause, not stop, but put a pause on all immigration so that we can reclaim our national identity and our sovereignty. And what does he mean by it? Well, first, let's hear the congressman. Cut number 9, please.
This is the radical Democratic Party that are more interested in playing politics and trying to focus on protecting those who want to endanger Americans than standing with an administration and the president and Secretary Noem who want to secure Americans. So you asked me about the PAWS Act. The fact of the matter is we have 51.5 million people in this country who are foreign born. That's about 16% of the population. That's higher than at any other point in our history. So go back to 1920. Where we had maybe a similar percentage, it was about 15%. And we had a whole bunch of people who'd come here who, by the way, were more interested in assimilating, who were participating in schools that actually taught that America's great, and when we had no social welfare state. Today, we have millions of people who've come here who don't want to assimilate, who aren't in schools teaching that America's great, and they are on the social welfare state. We need to pause immigration. We need to fix our system. We need to end diversity visas, end chain migration, the kind of people that allow their cousins and uncles and aunts to come in. We need to stop the abuse of H-1B visas. We need to end birthright citizenship. We need to codify what the president has done. We need to stop having taxpayer funding of illegal alien children in our schools, as we do in Texas and everywhere else. And we've got to center our entire immigration system. So pause and let's fix it. I think we need that for the country. We did it in 1920. Our country was stronger for that for about 4 or 5 decades. And now for 50 years, we've been blowing the lid open and allowing people to come here, including radical Muslims, radical Islamists who want to undermine Western civilization and our way of life.
No, sir. They do not want to undermine. They want to destroy it. That's what they want to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live under a caliphate. I do not. And if you are a person who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ, you don't want that either. Let me just say this. If you are a Jew, you definitely don't want it. And if you're gay, you sure as heck don't want it. They'll be throwing you folks off buildings. That's how dangerous this is. And God bless Governor Ron DeSantis over in Florida for labeling the Muslim Brotherhood what it is. It is a terrorist organization. So here's Congressman Roy again, and he is also concerned about the rise of Islam in Texas. And the Republicans who control the state of Texas, I have never seen a more squishy bunch of Republicans. They're terrified of the Islamists. And of all places, Texas, it is just shocking. But here's Congressman Roy, and he is not mincing words here. Cut two.
In Texas, we've got to double down. If there is no Texas, the country completely falls apart. And you said it, and people need to know it. The Muslim Brotherhood in London and in Paris, they recognize that Dallas in particular, Texas, is the epicenter of what they're trying to do for the Islamification of not just Texas, not just America, but the Western Hemisphere.
Big time.
They're planting the seeds here, and we've got to rip those seeds up and get them out of Texas.
Yeah, got to. You got to. And he's right. If Texas goes, we've got big problems. So we're going to have – this is not going to be easy. This is going to be ugly. And here's what I contend we need to do is that naturalized – if we have naturalized Americans from these hotbeds of terrorism, We've got to send everybody back. We've got to send them back until we can get a handle on what exactly is going on. And I say that because over the weekend, we saw what happened in Australia. We saw that in Syria, we had two American soldiers, two Army soldiers, National Guardsmen from Iowa, killed, slaughtered by ISIS. Then you have this situation in at Brown University. And we're going to get to more of that in just a little while. But let me just say this. The initial reporting from the eyewitnesses is the gunman, and they don't know who the gunman is. They have no earthly idea. Whoever it is came into the classroom of a Jewish professor who had a teaching assistant there. She wasn't there. And then opened fire, shouting something first. He shouted something, and then he opened fire. And no one seems to know what this guy shouted. I have a thought or two on that. But again, then tie in this the announcement that came out a little while ago that the FBI has disrupted what would have been a massive terrorist plot involving at least five locations in the Los Angeles area and one possibly in New Orleans. The people behind that, all Muslims. So we've got some big challenges ahead of us as a country and some really tough decisions to make. Now, I want to go back to 2017. Now, this is the voice of the foreign minister, Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed. And this is the United Arab Emirates. And he wanted to make sure, back in 2017, mind you, he wanted to make sure that all of us who speak English understood exactly what he was going to say. So he chose not to speak in his native tongue, but he spoke in English to deliver a warning to the West and also specifically Europe. Take a listen.
And let me say this in English so you can understand what I'm saying.
I have translation.
No, I know you have translation, but I just want to make sure you get it right. There will come a day that we will see far more radical, extremist, and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct, or assuming that they know the Middle East and they know Islam and they know the others far better than we do. And I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Yeah, it is. And he has been very outspoken about this and says that all nations must take a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to these terrorist groups. And what are they doing right now in Australia? They're literally importing all of these Gazans. And look what happened yesterday. Just unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. But what is your solution here? How do we handle the radical Islamists who live among us right now? Keep in mind, how many times have we had people from Jin Jordan all the way down saying it's not a matter of if, but when? They know what is lurking in the shadows. They know. But I'm telling you, it is going to be a rocky road here, folks, and you got to keep your head on a swivel. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You say, Tom, what does this mean? Do we live in fear? No, we don't live in fear. What are you, crazy? We're Americans. We stand up and we fight. That's what we do, and that's who we are. What I'm saying is that you've got to be diligent, and there are some things that are within our control. And that's we have got to strongly encourage our elected leaders to make the hard decisions. I mean, Trump is doing his best, his gut level best, but we need Congress to step up, and we have got to take care of this. Otherwise, we're going to have terrorist attacks, not in places like New York City or Los Angeles, but we're going to have them in places like Salem, Oregon, or Wichita, Kansas, or Bartlesville, Oklahoma. That's what we don't want to have happen. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. A lot of ground to cover. Let's go to the phones. WSJS is our great affiliate there in North Carolina. Jonathan calling in. Hey, Jonathan, what's on your mind today? Hello, Jonathan.
Can you hear me?
All right, let's put Jonathan on hold, and we'll get him all squared away. Thanks, guys. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Now, just a few moments ago, we heard from the FBI. You've got these leftists that are out there, and we're talking about homegrown terrorists, and these leftists were plotting attacks in places like Los Angeles, in New Orleans, and also New York. Let's take a listen to that bit of the presser.
Valuable assistance over the weekend with a very complex and coordinated search warrants that were done. The charges we are announcing today stem from the defendants and their co-conspirators' detailed, coordinated plot to bomb multiple U.S. companies on New Year's Eve. Thankfully, that plot has now been foiled thanks to the hard work of the FBI and the Department of Justice. This investigation was initiated in part due to the September 2025 executive order signed by President Trump to root out left-wing domestic terror organizations in our country, such as Antifa and other radical groups like the Turtle Island Liberation Front. As the president made clear, recent attacks across the country have highlighted the grave threats posed by these far-left domestic terror groups. These threats are sophisticated, organized campaigns of targeted intimidation, radicalization, threats, and violence designed to silence opposing speech, limit political activity, and direct policy outcomes, and prevent the proper functioning of a democratic society. In direct response to the president's order, the attorney general issued a memo to our offices implementing and mobilizing federal law enforcement to prioritize and counter domestic terrorism and political violence investigations. As a result of those directives, we built this case. Both my office and the FBI have invested substantial resources into investigating and charging these organizations. And if anyone does not believe that members of these groups are organized, sophisticated, and extremely violent, let me tell you about the plot in this case. The four defendants are Audrey Carroll, 30 years old. The pictures, I think we have them somewhere. We'll put them up here. Audrey Carroll, 30 years old, Zachary Aaron Page, 32, Dante Gaffield, 24, and Tina Lay, 41, each from the Los Angeles area. Each is charged with conspiracy and possession of an unregistered destructive device in violation of Title 26, United States Code Section 5861D. We intend to file additional charges in the coming weeks as we finish reviewing the evidence. The defendants are all radical anti-government members of the Turtle Island Liberation Front, which, according to their own social media, is an anti-capitalist, anti-government movement that calls for their associates to rise up and fight back against capitalism. One of the leaders of the organization, defendant Audrey Carroll, helped organize an even more radical faction of the group called the Order of the Black Lotus.
All right, so here's where I stand on this. I know this is going to irritate some folks, but it really is. I think this is where we have to go with it. What they're accused of doing is treason. They are committing treason against the United States of America. Therefore, death penalty. They go through their court process. They're found guilty. They need to be executed for their crimes. That's the only way we're going to be able to stop this. We got to start playing hardball here, folks. Got to. No game anymore. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest three-in-one sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Jonathan in North Carolina. Hi, Jonathan. You are on the air. What's on your mind today?
I would like to say I agree with your statement about treason and execution. And I would also encourage people to use Google Translate. I was in Walmart here recently, and my son told me to translate what these people from the Middle East were saying. And my son is gay, and they were looking over at us, and they were saying things like, he should be executed, he should be beheaded, dumb Americans don't think anything's going on, we need... And this is Google Translate.
Wait, Jonathan, so you're... Hold on, I want to understand this. So you're in a Walmart in North Carolina, and what, you see people there, and they're speaking in Arabic, I would assume?
Correct.
All right, so you whip out the Google Translate, and you're telling me, so they were like, they were looking at your son, and they were saying all these things.
Correct, and they were saying things like Christians need to be executed, Jews, just all kinds of weird stuff. You know, I mean, just scary stuff, very scary.
So, what did you do?
Nothing. I mean, I snapped a picture of them and sent it off to local law enforcement, but there wasn't, they never called me back. They never said hello. They never said goodbye. They never said nothing. Mm. Nothing.
So they didn't even say, like, assalamu alaikum or anything like that, huh?
Well, yeah, but they did. But I got this memory problem coming on. And
this has been,
you know, 3 or 4 days ago, and I can't remember exactly what was said.
Well, that's understandable.
It was very scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
Yeah, I guess so. Look, a lot of people, this is what kills me. You've got all these LGBT groups, and they're out there marching, you know, free Palestine. They hate the gays more than they hate the Jews and the Christians.
And my son understands that, and he's like, they will kill us. They will chop our heads off. And he's right. They will. They absolutely will. So we need to get them out of our country. We need to. And some of our elected leaders, oh, Lord, that really upsets me. Some of our elected leaders are committing treason and nobody's standing up to them.
Nobody is. You know? You're right. You're right, Jonathan. And by the way, the clock is ticking on a lot of that. And the statute of limitations running out. And Pam Bondi is just, she's sitting there. Not a good look. Not a good look. Jonathan, be careful when you're out at Walmart. That's all I can tell you. Glad you got that Google Translator. Wow. You know... Dylan, I never in a million years would have thought to whip out the old Google Translator. Does it pick up? I guess it has a pretty good far reach.
I guess so. I haven't tried it out, but I might do it now.
Jeez. Somebody in a hijab comes up and starts screaming at you. I'm like,
I would like to know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying it. Just kind of know the lay of the land. Let's go to Danny in Selmer, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Danny. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, sir.
Hello.
Exactly in line with what you've been talking about and what the last caller was mentioning. I called in to say that we as Americans and Western society need to take this very, very seriously. This is not the beginning stages. It's past the beginning stages, but it's going to get bad. We think in Western society that we can live in harmony with others and see each other's differences and respect differences. That That may be, but that's not how these Muslims think and those groups think. They feel that the only way that they can survive is to exterminate everyone that isn't with them. And that's it's survivability. We're either going to survive or they're going to kill us. It's what it's going to boil down to. Now, it might take 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, but they will be slaughtering everyone that is LGBTQ, everyone that's Christian, everyone that's a Jew, anyone that has Western beliefs and is American, anyone that doesn't like Sharia law. They're going to come after everybody.
No, they are. That it is just a matter of time. And all you have to do is take a look at ancient history. This is all about conquering nations. That's what's going on. That's why when you see the Islamist in Times Square with the prayer rugs and they're bowing down, they don't do that in their home countries, in countries where Islam is the dominant religion and it's the only religion. They don't do that. That's considered a sign of disrespect. But the reason they're doing it is to mark their ground and to lay claim. So people need to start researching and understanding. Look, this is one of the reasons, Danny, why Thomas Jefferson actually had a copy of the Quran, because he wanted to understand the enemy. That's who we're fighting. If you remember, it's immortalized in the great song, "From the Shores of Tripoli." So we needed to understand who the enemy is. And when you read the Quran, you get a pretty good understanding that they consider us to be infidels.
Exactly. And if you look at Sharia law that they want to instate, that's basically a law based on religion. Well, we have a separation of religion and state here. You can't, by our foundation, we can't enforce Sharia law. We can't have Sharia law. I mean, it all plays.
Well,
they have to overcome us totally.
Yeah.
It's going to be way past that. They're just going to eliminate us.
And Danny, it'll happen quickly. And let me explain why. They have been, during the Obama and Biden administration, I suspect this was going on, even Trump didn't realize it was happening during his term in office because he had so many dumpster fires to put out. They've been relocating all of these Islamists to multiple red states. I mean, you look at places like Minnesota, for example, but South Carolina, Tennessee, the Nashville area, there is a massive Islamic population there. So this is not just look at what's happening in Texas right now. So it is, I think it is something that we could very well see within our lifetimes if we're not careful. And again, we have got to get a handle on what exactly has been allowed to enter our country. What is it they say? It's only 10% they think of the Islam of the Islamist are actually violent. Okay, well, that's about 120 million people. That's a lot of potential terrorists out there. Danny, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. Have you been following this bizarre story out of Los Angeles? And this all came down late last night. Again, just a weird weekend news cycle. So you've got early on, the call came that Rob Reiner and his wife were found dead in their home. Now we understand their throats were slit, and the person responsible is believed to be their son. His name is Nick Reiner. He's 32 years old. TMZ now reporting that there was some sort of a massive argument. They were at Conan O'Brien's Christmas party Saturday night, and there was some sort of a fierce argument. It was so loud that people heard it. And then Rob and his wife, who've been married almost 40 years, they left the party. And they're saying that there was some sort of an argument yesterday afternoon. Family sources are telling TMZ that the son has like massive, massive substance abuse issues, doing drugs. Apparently he's also mentally ill. And they said that they don't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. And one of their daughters actually found the bodies. They say the throats of both of them were slit, and there's other reporting that after their throats were slit, they were just stabbed to death. I mean, it's just an absolutely horrifying scene. My goodness. President Trump weighing in, And this is interesting because Marjorie Taylor Greene is enraged at President Trump. So here's what Trump wrote, and I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on this, and I'll do my best to read it without doing too much emphasis here, because I'm just, this is what the president wrote on True Social. And a lot of people are very upset at the president over this. The president said a very sad thing happened last night in Hollywood. Rob Reiner, a tortured and struggling but once very talented movie director and comedy star, has passed away together with his wife, Michelle, reportedly due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding, and incurable affliction with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. Wow. He was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession of President Donald J. Trump, with his obvious paranoia reaching new heights as the Trump administration surpassed all goals and expectations of greatness, and with the golden age of America upon us, perhaps like never before. May Rob and Michelle rest in peace. And that's what the president wrote. So anyway, Marjorie Taylor Greene is weighing in now. Here's what she had to say. Rob Reiner and his wife. Okay, well, I guess get through all that, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. I'll just read it for you. Rob Reiner and his wife were tragically killed at the hands of their own son, who reportedly had drug addiction and other issues, and the remaining children are left in serious mourning and heartbreak. This is a family tragedy, not about politics or political enemies. Many families deal with a family member with drug addiction and mental health issues. It's incredibly difficult and should be met with empathy, especially when it ends in murder. So anyway, so now all these folks are coming after MTG, and they're telling her to be quiet in some rather frank ways. MTG, you're a fake, a quitter, and a backstabber. In what universe have you earned the high ground? You schizoid-like bipolar turn on Trump is a slap in the face to MAGA patriots everywhere and helping the Democrat communists steal back a country they tried to destroy. Now, look, I am a conservative, and I am pro-life, so we always err on the side of life. And it is a tragedy whenever anybody loses their life, period. I mean, that's just, it's a terrible, terrible thing that happened. That's just me. I know a lot of people, I don't know how many times I've seen, and I do not do this, but people love to do this. Well, you know, I just didn't like Rob Reiner, but, okay, why do you need to tell people that? You know, the guy's dead. He got his throat slit, for God's sakes. By the way, Dylan, Rob Reiner, The Princess Bride.
Yes.
Stand By Me.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf, oh, that was a great movie.
He's pretty funny.
Brilliant director. Of course, many of you will remember him from a sitcom back in the 1970s. Oh, you know what? This is a fun trivia question. I'm pulling an audible here. But who did Rob Reiner play? I need the first and last name of the character Rob Reiner played on All of the Family, as well as his nickname, 901-260-5926. That was one of the most brilliant TV comedies in all of TV history. 901-260-5926. But Rob Reiner was a terrific actor. His directing skills, of course, When Harry Met Sally. As a matter of fact, if you go to, what is it, the deli on the Lower East Side, used to go, Cat's Deli, used to go there all the time. They've got the best pastrami on rye in the entire city when I lived in New York City. And they actually have the chair and the table where Harry Met Sally, that was actually filmed in that delicatessen over on the Lower East Side back in the day. And there were just so many others. Of course, Spinal Tap is probably the best. And you know, a lot of these shows, Dylan, they're doing the mockumentaries now. Everybody does a mockumentary, right? It's kind of like a regular thing. Well, he actually created that genre as a director. I mean, that was the very first mockumentary of a rock band. And I believe they were actually working on some sort of a sequel to it or some sort of a concert. Back in just crazy. All right. Gonna take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Here, there are beaches as wide open as your plans and waterfront towns more charming than you could ever imagine and activities to fill every sunny second of every sunny day. It's time to start thinking about your next break, and the Crystal Coast has a space for you and yours to do it all. Ready for the perfect spring getaway? Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking now.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Bob in Minnesota. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
Bob, I'm doing well. And yeah, we were sort of going back down memory lane. And I know that Rob Reiner was a crazy left-wing lunatic, but he was one of the most brilliant directors of all time. And he had just did a terrific job with this character that he portrayed on All in the Family. So, Bob, we need you to tell us, what was Rob Reiner's character on the old All in the Family show?
Well, Todd, it was Michael Meathead Stivic.
Yeah. Wow. You got it all right there. Michael Stivic, Mike Stivic, and do you know what nationality he portrayed on the show?
Polish.
That's right. And Carol O'Connor, you know, Carol O'Connor, what's interesting about that character is that Carol O'Connor in real life was a far leftist. He was a liberal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Back in the day. Mike's
show back then. Comedy. Good, great, great start of all comedies, really.
You know, it, Bob, when you think about it, that era, you know, when you had, it wasn't just what, All in the Family, and out of All in the Family came the Jeffersons and Maude, and which was B. Arthur, who went on to have great fame in, what was that, the Golden Girls. And then you had a, you had Sanford and Son. Remember Sanford and Son, Bob?
Absolutely. You and I grew up with the good ones, Todd.
Well, my parents wouldn't let me watch any of that, but I did watch it on Nick at Night. When I got older, we finally got cable when I was a teenager back in the day. But, you know, all that to say, we were able to talk about so many things now that you would just be canceled for. You know, if you did it, there's no way they would allow a show like All in the Family on.
Nope. We can just laugh at it and remember a different time.
Yeah, that's it. Old Meathead. Bob, hang tight. We're going to send you a copy of one of my books, so don't go anywhere, and we're going to get all your info there. But, yeah, that's it. I mean, there was a time, and I think Norman Lear was the producer of that show. And what I think made it work is that Norman Lear was pretty authentic when it came to creating the Archie Bunker character, who I think was the prototypical American guy of the time. And even with the Jeffersons, there was this reality. I mean, it was just real. It was authentic. It was raw. And people love that kind of stuff. I mean, probably, I think there was Good Times. It was another show that really resonated with the audience. And they just don't make comedies like that anymore. And I don't think they would ever be allowed to. But that's one of the reasons why those shows did so well. And they addressed a lot of the big, I don't think they were mocking. No, I don't think they were mocking conservatives with Archie Bunker. I think a lot of people identified with Archie Bunker. And that's one of the reasons why I thought it was so brilliant, is that, you know, that's exactly how a lot of people think in this country, or at least thought back in the day. All right, hang tight, folks. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Coming up, Steve Gill is going to drop by. Also, want to give you the very latest on what's happening in Brown University. There's another component of the story that people are not talking about, and we're going to get to that in just a moment as well. All right, hang tight. ToddStearns.com. Go check it out. We'll be right back.
This episode was brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Everyone was all set for family vacation until the phrase break a leg became a little too literal at last week's kickball game. Trip cancellation benefits can help when life sidelines your plans. Learn more at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan, I'm curious, have you filled up your car lately? Like, over the past, I don't know, couple of weeks or so?
I have, Todd, yes.
Have you noticed gas prices? Are they coming down?
You know what? I have noticed that. It's bound down a couple cents. I've even seen a dollar down in some places.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, the local news shows, I mean, the networks are not reporting on this, but gas prices across the nation are going down at a pretty dramatic level. And one of the things that that I've noticed is that, and you're right, by about a dollar a gallon in some places. So anyway, I was we have a brand new sponsor to the program, and I was not sure about this. I'd heard about it. It's called the Upside Cashback app, and you can actually download this on your smartphone, which is what I've done. It's called Upside. And when you download the Upside app, you get cash back on purchases specifically like gas. And so what's fascinating about this, you know how much I got back on? I was, again, gas prices are already down considerably. I was paying $2.19 a gallon, $2.19 a gallon, thanks to the Upside app. And so, look, here's the deal. I want you to download this app and check it out. This is pretty awesome. And it's so super simple because you literally get cash back on your purchases. And use my promo code WEALTH25. That's WEALTH25. And you're going to be saving a lot of money. And not just saving money, you're going to be making money on your purchases like I just did by, you know, saving, I think, 42 cents a gallon on gasoline. So very nice. Welcome aboard Upside app, and I would encourage you to go and check it out. Again, you can download it. It took me literally within 30 seconds. I had downloaded the app, put in all my information, and already got my money back on gas. I love this app. I'm going to use it a lot, I do believe. So again, by the way, I can send it to three friends. So I'll send it over to you, Dylan.
Oh, you're too kind.
You can unlock a bonus. There you go. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So today they're having the big meeting, and this is sort of like the Godfather when all the mob bosses got together, all the heads of the family got together. And Don Corleone was going to basically tell it like it is. Except in this case, you've got Erica Kirk on one side of the table, and you've got Candace Owens on the other. Now, over the weekend, there was a big town hall on CBS News. Did any of you watch the CBS News town hall featuring Barry Weiss and Erica Kirk? If you did, I want to hear from you because I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how all of that went. And our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. No right or wrong answers. I'm just curious, what was your takeaway from Candace Owens, or I'm sorry, from Erica Kirk being on that show, CBS News? I will say this, I thought that CBS was pretty despicable the way they sort of ambushed Erica. And you have to kind of be prepared for this at CBS, for crying out loud. But the very last person that got to ask a question is the same person who asked Charlie the question about transgenderism before Charlie was killed. So you've got, just again, the visual here. CBS wanted the last person to ask Charlie a question to be the last person on their show to ask Erica a question. It was pretty despicable. And it was a setup. The whole thing was a setup. So anyway, Erica does the interview, and all you know what is breaking loose. And I very rarely do I agree with everything that Alex Jones says about something, but man, I found myself agreeing with him a lot on his take here. Because whether, it doesn't matter if you're pro Candace or pro Turning Point or pro Erica or whoever, it's fracturing the base of the party right now. It's fracturing the America First movement. This ugly, ugly battle, this ugly, ugly fight that's taking place. And it's got to stop. It just has to. So anyway, Erica announced that she's having a private meeting, a one-on-one meeting, just her and Candace, and they're going to hash all of this out. And I don't know if they're going to be able to bury the hatchet or not. I'm not sure. I don't know. I genuinely do not know, because I'm trying to understand what Candace Owens wants out of all of this. What's the end game for her? Right? She's making some wild accusations and allegations. And sooner or later, she's going to have to show proof. I mean, if there was widespread corruption at Turning Point USA, show us the evidence. If Erica Kirk is a black widow and had her husband killed, show us the proof. If Israel was behind all of this and Benjamin Netanyahu, just show us the proof. Or if the United States military or the Egyptian planes, just show us the evidence you have. Just show it. Whatever it is, just pick one of the, or it may be a vast right-wing conspiracy, like Hillary Clinton once alleged. But clearly, there is, let me just say this. There are a lot of people that think that Candace is not well, that maybe there is some sort of a psychological issue. I don't think that's the case at all. I think she lost somebody in her life that meant the world to her, and she is dealing with that grief. I also believe that she is getting insider information from Turning Point USA, and I believe that there probably are some financial shenanigans that have been going on. That doesn't necessarily mean that Turning Point USA executive leadership had Charlie killed. Seems a bit extreme to me. Also, there is reporting that Charlie had been texting people, at least two people, and had said before the Utah event that he felt like people were going to kill him. And Erica Kirk said those text messages did not exist. Well, one of the individuals is Frank Turek, who is a very well-known Christian, and I wouldn't say Christian leader, but he's certainly a Christian influencer, if you will, and a good guy. He would have no reason to lie about something like that. And he's on Team Erica, by the way. That's Team Turning Point USA. So anyway, there's just a lot of weird questions. And a lot of these things can't be answered because you've got a trial that's about to get underway. There's a lot of evidence they're not allowed to talk about. But this idea, and this is coming from Turning Point, is that if you can't talk about this, you can't talk about this. Erica Kirk is a grieving widow, and how dare you say anything? That always raises a red flag for me, because with all due respect to Erica Kirk, if you're going to put yourself out there, if you're going to put yourself on CBS News in a town hall setting, you got to be able to answer those questions. And if you're not wanting to, or if you don't like the way that the media is handling this, then you just have to back out of it. I mean, it really is that simple. And I've had a lot of people ask me, they're like, Starnes, what do you think about all of this? And it bothers me because this should not be a fight. This should not be an argument. This should not be dividing the base of the party. Because ultimately, my concern is this is going to destroy Turning Point USA. And I will say this about Turning Point USA. Man, I'm making a lot of people. I feel like Alex Jones now. He was really exasperated all this, and I'm exasperated. Because I've seen enough of this up close. There was a reason why I was not very engaged in Turning Point USA over the years. I had a lot of questions about things. But let me say this. Charlie Kirk built an incredible organization. He grew that thing like nobody's business, and he is one of the most influential people, probably the most influential person, I think, on Gen Z and whatever it is, Alpha Gen, is that the next, whatever they call themselves, Gen Alpha. I think he was the most influential person. That being said, it's not that Turning Point USA is built on a house of cards. I don't want to frame it like that, but it was built on Charlie. And Charlie's voice. And I see what they're trying to do. You know, everybody's sort of jockeying within TPUSA to figure out who's going to lead this thing. They don't have the leadership. And whoever is going to be able to take the reins, I don't think they're even connected with Turning Point USA right now. It's going to have to be somebody else with another voice. That's where I think all of this is going, because they didn't have that much structure. And I say that only because a lot of their Turning Point chapters at the university level were not very well funded, were not very well organized, and it was sort of hit or miss, which is going to happen in an organization. That's not a negative thing at all. It's just a reality of when you're growing something so quickly, you don't have time to catch it. The infrastructure doesn't have to. That's what the infrastructure. They don't have the infrastructure is what I'm getting at. But again, if you're going to put yourself out there and you're going to do those sit-down interviews, then you've got to be willing to take the criticism, and you've got to be willing to take the tough questions. And I'm not sure she's been asked that many tough questions. But anyway, it's just all very strange. And I know that others have been out there saying, okay, it's just very odd. I mean, And Dylan, this is what kills me, is that every time you say something, like, for example, I've known a lot of people that have died. A lot of people have died. I've lived a good life and been to a lot of funerals. I've never seen anybody ask. I've never seen anyone ask to film the body in the coffin.
I would have to double that. Yeah.
Never seen that. Yeah. And I'm just going to be real. That creeped me out. I'm sorry. That may be normal. I mean, there may be families that do that. And I'm not judging you. But for me personally, that was a little off. Something was not right there.
I think that kind of started a lot of what's going on.
That's exactly when I said, wait a second. And the other thing was the memorial service, which was a beautiful thing. But the pyrotechnics and the fact that we asked a simple question and got our head snapped off is that, okay, when was the funeral? It seemed to me to be a pretty legitimate question. So anyway, the way this whole thing has been handled has been a mess, a complete mess. And I'm not even sure what sides we're talking about. I was going to say it was going to be on both sides. It's a mess, but I'm not even sure there are any sides. Seems to me that if you're Candace or Erica or the people hosting that Charlie Kirk show, that probably needs to, you know, all of those folks need to get into a room and figure it out and understand that you're talking about Charlie's legacy now and whether or not Turning Point USA is going to be able to survive. I mean, that's ultimately the thing here. So I hope they get it all worked out. It just seems to me this is a bunch of ugliness. And if I were, I don't know. I hope it all turns out okay. But I'm not holding out hope for it. I feel like I'm knee-deep in a minefield right now.
I think you're saying everything that we're all thinking.
It's
who knows?
It was that coffin video.
It's the coffin video.
It was the coffin
video. And the fact that, I mean, we saw Erica like 3 days after the death of Charlie Kirk on at the desk, you know, and they were basically starting right back at it again. They didn't really take that much time off.
You know, Alex Jones seems to think that, you know, she's a theater kid. He kept using that phrase over again. And it may be. And maybe she's just trying, just not even overselling it, but it's just like sometimes you want to, you know, you really have to focus super hard not to let your emotions come out. But I just don't know. I think it was a bad move to let her come out and do all that stuff. She needed time. She needs time. I mean, she's got these young kids. But again, this is just me saying if they're going to salvage this, they've got to do it quickly or it's going to go south quickly. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want everybody to be happy and just, can't we all just get along? Can't we just do that and just move on and let's save America? Can we do that? But we also need to figure out what happened in Utah. And we're not getting the full story there either. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This episode is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Sometimes exploring the unknown gets a little too unpredictable. When your travels get off track, protection against delays, interruptions, and cancellations can help. Learn more at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
The podcaster Candace Owens, okay? At one time, a friend of Charlie's, at one time, an employee of Turning Point. She has been one of the main peddlers of these conspiracies, and she is making a huge amount of money on it. She is building her business off of these lies. What do you want to say to her and the other people that are putting these lies out into the world right now?
Stop. That's it. That's all I have to say. Stop.
All right, there you go. That's a little bit of the town hall from CBS News. And, you know, about Barry Weiss, by the way, everybody thought, oh, she's going to come in and she's going to turn CBS News into Fox News Channel. That was so laughable. And I tried to tell folks, look, it's not going to happen like that. That Barry Weiss is still a liberal, and she basically pulled a Jerry Springer move by bringing that dude on at the end of the show. It was really low class. But I got to give Erica Kirk credit for going out there, and I mean, she answered the questions as best she could. We will see how today's meeting goes between her and Candace. The reality is, the longer this goes on, the worse it is for Turning Point USA. And so they've got to get all this nipped in the bud. Whatever it's going to take. And again, I don't know if we've ever actually, has anybody ever actually asked Candace, what do you want? What in game here, what are you wanting to happen? So we'll figure that out, hopefully. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. This is Dylan. I don't know what you know. It's ugly. Nobody likes it when mommy and daddy are fighting, and that's what I feel like this whole thing is. And Shanklin says it's like watching children fighting over the famous dad's legacy and money. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
It's true. Somebody else writing in saying, frankly, both of them creep me out for different reasons. Candace for her questions, stupid questions, and Erica for her weird choice of attire and bad acting skills. Another saying this is the exact same crap the America First people in the Reform Party movement went through. Until America First citizens take over every county, state, Republican Party, we will not succeed. Says Candace wants clicks. Well, there you go. It's a sad thing because we've got something much bigger at stake here. Welcome back. Great to have you with us, everybody. So the situation at Brown University, this is insane. And the thing about it, and nobody's talking much about this, is that this is a great lesson in what happens when you allow diversity hires to run your government. And I say that because the mayor is an in Providence, Rhode Island, is an LGBT activist. The police chief is an immigrant from Colombia. And the president of the university earned international acclaim for writing papers on diversity, equity, and inclusion. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, the great Steve Gill, publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Well, as you point out, craziness in Providence, it seems. And again, you pay the price when you make bad choices. And that's true whether, you know, you're mixing different kinds of liquors or whether you're picking mixed kinds of folks running your university or your city or your town.
Steve, I'm curious, when you look at what happened over the weekend, I mean, it's like the Keystone Cops over there.
Yeah, and again, as people have pointed out, there's something like 800 and plus cameras on this campus, and supposedly they haven't got any photographs, any video. They don't know where this guy came from, where he went. I mean, it is not just the DEI of who they're putting in charge, but it's the DEI approach to cover up who committed a major crime.
Steve, when you look at what happened here with this young lady, she's a college vice president of the College Republicans. You think there's anything to that, that maybe this young lady was targeted?
You know, I think we're going to have to get a lot more information. When you go into a classroom full of people, there's not any real evidence at this point that an individual was targeted. It looks more like they were targeting the classroom of a Jewish professor, a classroom that apparently was, you know, studying something related to Judaism. That seems more plausible to me. You go into a room and there's, you know, several dozen people or more. The idea that he was there to target one individual, I think it's a little less plausible to me than that the classroom was the target. The professor may have been the target. But I think we need a lot more information before we can really do more than, you know, just speculate at this point.
You know, there's been a lot of talk, Steve, and especially in light of what happened down in Australia, with concerns that what happened at that beach could actually happen here in America. And certainly we've already had those sorts of terrorist attacks here. What's the solution? I know Chip Roy, Tommy Tuberville, very concerned about all of this.
Well, I mean, you look at the consistent pattern of who's committing these crimes. It's not the Amish. They're not riding up in their buggies and opening fire. You look at who's committing the crime. That's the pattern. And we are a nation awash in soft targets, whether it's shopping malls, whether it's schools. I mean, even though we've, you know, hardened our schools to some point, they're not really that hard. And clearly this university, where it's in a state that essentially has banned guns, in a city that's banned guns, in Australia, where they have pretty much a nationwide ban on guns, it's not the guns. It's not the Amish. It's not right-wing Christians that are committing these crimes. And I think you start with where's the pattern of where the crime is coming from and deal with that first. And again, when you look globally, it's not Amish activists that are committing terrorism all over the world.
Well, fair enough. That's a good point. Here is Senator Tommy Tuberville speaking on the Senate floor. Cut number 8, please.
This is a major national security threat. Radical Islamists have proven over and over again that they are willing to do whatever it takes to kill just one American citizen. And it didn't just happen overseas. It has been allowed to fester and is alive and well in our very own country, just waiting for the right opportunity to attack. So now is the time to act, because if we don't, we're going to lose this country as we know it. Open your eyes, America. The values of this country was built on cannot coexist with radical Islam. It doesn't work. It's one, our Constitution, or the other. You can't mix them. This isn't a Republican or Democrat issue. This is an American issue. Just look at Europe. We are headed down the same dark path as what Europe's going through now if we don't wake up. We need to permanently shut down Sharia law in this country before it's too late. Wake up, America.
Steve, you heard Senator Tuberville there. Is he off base?
No, Coach is preaching it. He's right on the point. And I'm as concerned about the number of radical Islamists we've allowed into our country, the expansion of radical Islam in our country. But we also have these radical Islamists who are in our Congress, who are setting the laws, whether it's the members of the squad, whether it's Ilhan Omar. Why is Ilhan Omar still in our country? I mean, we're seeing these people come in, commit fraud to come into our country, and yet nothing happens, even when they're high profile. So again, the violence is one issue, but the tolerance for the intolerable is something that we have to put a stop to, including putting these people in positions of power, whether it's as mayors, whether it's as governors, senators, or members of Congress.
So this cracks me up here, Steve, because over the weekend, her son got pulled over by ICE. And this is brilliant. I would have asked, son, who's your daddy? Let's just go ahead and just rip that Band-Aid off. But anyway.
All right. Dylan's going to have to play Who's Your Daddy out as you go the out kick. That has to be the musical exit of this whole segment.
So they pull the kid over, and she said they asked to see his papers, and so he gave him the passport. And it all checked out, and he went on his way. And I'm like, why is there a problem here? You know, because this flies in the face of her accusation that ICE agents are acting like the Gestapo.
No, and that is an excellent point. And often you'll see these videos of the leftist radical woke, trying to interfere with ICE, screaming, "You need a warrant. Where's your warrant?" when they're arresting or detaining people on the street. When you arrest or detain people, that's to investigate a potential crime.
Yeah.
You don't need a warrant to arrest somebody. You need, due process comes when you're actually going through the legal process. You don't do, this kind of justification, the court hearing on the street. No, you conduct your investigation, you make an arrest, you issue charges, and then you start the legal process. And again, the folks that are trying to interfere with ICE and screaming and again, doing their best to protect those who are here illegally. And Todd, we've had this discussion before. I get so sick of the left claiming, well, just being here illegal isn't much of a crime. Well, the bottom line is, if you're here illegally, you are most certainly working illegally, driving a car illegally, driving without insurance illegally, using identity theft to continue to work illegally. And as we're finding out, millions of these illegals are drawing government benefits illegally. How many crimes do these people have to commit before the left says, okay, they've done more than just one illegal act, being here illegally? It is a whole plethora of illegal activities. And we're not going to tolerate one crime, much less half a dozen.
Oh, Steve, and by the way, folks, this is Steve Gill, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. It is a terrific news website. If you love politics, you're going to love this this website. We do have a Jasmine Crockett update to share with you, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Gill, that's the Jasmine Crockett theme song, shucking and jiving across America. So Jasmine Crockett is out there, and she's explaining why we need the illegals here in America. Take a listen.
So I had to go around the country and educate people about what immigrants do for this country, or the fact that we are a country of immigrants.
Right.
The fact is, ain't none of y'all trying to go and farm right now. Okay, so I'm lying. Raise your hand. You're not. We done picking cotton. We are. You can't pay us enough to find a plantation.
Steve Gill.
First of all, that's going to come as quite a shock to the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of black farmers across the United States. You know, it's like to kind of play on the Joe Biden. You ain't black if you farming. So again, maybe Jasmine needs to explore a little bit about people who are farming. And again, Todd, you know, you're in Memphis, and West Tennessee is where a lot of cotton farms are. They aren't plantations any longer. And as I drive through West Tennessee when they're harvesting the cotton and then taking it to the gins, I'm not seeing a bunch of black folks, you know, picking cotton out in the field. That's not reality. And yet she's, you know, not only using fake accents, she's using fake facts to justify her campaign for the U.S. Senate now in Texas.
You know, it's interesting. They actually did the numbers on the number of farmers back in the 1920s. They had nearly 1 million farmers, black farmers. Through the years, though, those numbers have dropped. So right now, the latest census information, nearly 50,000 black-owned farms operating, those black farmers operating about 32,000 farms around the country. So there you go. But still,
I would also suspect that the number of white farmers has declined as well.
Oh, absolutely.
In our economy, where small family farms, you know, people working at a factory in Clay County, Tennessee, that also have a small farm on the side, I suspect the number of white farmers has declined pretty dramatically as well.
Well, and the thing that bothers me about all of this is that she's insinuating, first of all, that people are still enslaved in America, and which is simply not true. I was in the Mississippi Delta, a couple of months back, did not see anybody working the crops out in the field picking cotton. Didn't see any cotton pickers.
Isn't her party the same one, Todd, that wants to bring in illegal aliens and migrant farmers who are Hispanic to work the field essentially as slave labor?
Yes, exactly. It's exactly right, Steve Gill. So, again, I just, you know what? I hope we have more people like Jasmine running for the Senate on the Democrat side of the aisle.
By the way, I have to share one nugget of fact, because you and your show was following the 7th Congressional District special election a few weeks ago, when the woke whack job, I want to be the AOC of Tennessee, Afton Bain, was getting national and to some extent international acclaim in what was going to be a race that Democrats had a real shot at. They dumped millions of dollars into Middle Tennessee to try and win a special election in a +10 Republican district. The Republican ended up winning by 9 points, and yet you've got Afton Bain, this woke Democrat liberal, still, you know, seeking, you know, publicity and TV time. The dirty little secret is that she and another famous Tennessee Democrat politician, Justin Jones, who was part of that Tennessee 3 group that created disturbance in the legislature, got dismissed from the legislature. They came back. He's another activist that is always active but never accomplishes anything. Turns out the reason that they despise each other, and it was apparent on the campaign trail, they wouldn't appear with each other, they wouldn't endorse Justin wouldn't endorse her. When Kamala Harris came to Nashville, she endorsed Justin, but not Afton. So the reason they despise each other is they dated at one point. So you've got these two activist woke liberals in Tennessee politics who despise each other. But the player of the year in Tennessee politics is House Speaker Cameron Sexton, because after they broke up and have this animosity towards each other, last January, the House Speaker made them seatmates in the Tennessee Legislative Chamber.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, maybe love will blossom again. All right. Steve Gill, TriStarDaily.com. Steve, always good hearing from you.
Thanks, my friend.
All right. Got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. You know, Newsmax tonight, 5 o'clock, the Todd Stern Show. You can watch on Newsmax, too. A lot of people are watching Newsmax now, millions now going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones. Reuters says we are one of the top news brands in the nation. You can watch great shows every single night. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Take seconds to start. Let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. Dylan, I'm having way too much fun on the Upside app. By the way, that Upside is one of our brand new sponsors here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're kicking off their sponsorship today, and we're very excited about that. By the way, if you download the Upside app right now, use my promo code WEALTH25. That's WEALTH25. It's going to unlock some really wonderful savings for you. I was going through, I didn't realize it's not just gasoline that you're saving. It's everything, whether you're at a restaurant, grocery store, convenience store, wherever you're at. And I was scrolling down, like, for example, Taco Bell, you're going to get 28% cash back. However, at other Taco Bells, some of them are higher, like, for example, Five Guys, 30% cash back. And the way it works, you make your purchase, then you claim your 30% and you get your cash right back.
You might be able to spend a normal amount of money at Five Guys.
They say on average, you're saving over, I mean, it's not even saving, you're getting $300 cash back every year. And as much as we spend on eating out, we might be able to retire. We should turn around and invest it. But it's a Wendy's, Taco Bell, whatever. All you do is you type in your zip code, and it pops up all of the available restaurants or grocery stores, for example, that are participating. Oh, Fresh Market. There you go. Fresh Market, which is my go-to jam. I like it because they have the classical music. You know, grocery shopping can be very stressful.
Indeed.
It's sort of nice to have classical music.
We have a lot of Wendy's around us, Todd. Have you noticed on this app?
I know. And they're not that good. No.
Wendy's and Taco Bell's.
I don't want to say anything, but, you know, I think I just did. So anyway, download this is great. Download the Upside app and use our promo code WEALTH25. That's WEALTH25, and it's going to unlock all these great savings. I'm going to have to go and, well, I got to go get gas after the show. So I'll get my cash back after that. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the big show coming up. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, the Democrats are foaming at the mouth. How dare he? Who does Donald Trump think he is? It's disgusting. Gross. Where's the human decency? They're really upset. So Trump weighing in on the horrifying murder of Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle. Rob Reiner hated Donald Trump's guts. I mean, it was ugly. And Reiner went above and beyond with the hatred and spewing of the venom. It was ugly stuff, no doubt about it. So anyway, Trump weighing in on all of this and said it was a very sad thing that happened last night in Hollywood. He says that may Rob and Michelle rest in peace. You say, well, what's wrong with that, Starnes? Well, I left out a little bit. So I want to go back through and read to you what Trump wrote. And I want to, look, I never suggest that I'm speaking for the president. Never. Never would I do that. That's not me. And I don't want to think for the president, but I think I know where he's going with all of this. So Trump said that Rob Reiner, a tortured and struggling but once very talented movie director and comedy star, has passed away. Now, let me stop here for a moment. Trump is actually paying homage to this man by saying, hey, look, he was incredibly talented, and he was. You know, Dylan, we were talking about this earlier in the show. I mean, this is the guy who gave us, what, Spinal Tap, A Princess Bride.
When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally. That's a chick flick. Was that Tom Hanks? And who starred in that?
That was Billy Crystal.
Oh, was that Billy Crystal? Why did I say Tom? Oh, that was Sleepless in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They all sort of like, you know, they're chick flicks.
It was a good one, though. It was like one of the good chick flicks.
Yes. When you go, you've been to New York City?
I have once.
You need to go. Next time you and the missus go, you got to go and eat at Cat's Deli. And there's a little table there, and there's a little there's like a little notation, I think, on the floor that says, this is where Harry Met Sally.
Nice.
Filmed it right there. I'll
check it out.
All right. Stand By Me.
Yep.
The Princess Bride. Oh, was it A Few Good Men? You Can Handle the Truth.
Oh.
It's amazing. Again, as Trump is saying here, very talented movie director and comedy star. He actually was a really good comedian. And then he goes, Trump takes veers a little bit and it says they were reportedly killed due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding, and incurable affliction with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. He was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession of President Donald J. Trump with his obvious paranoia reaching new heights as the Trump administration surpasses all goals and expectations of greatness and with the golden age of America upon us, perhaps like never before. So there you go. Let me just say something about Trump derangement syndrome. It really is. I mean, there has to be some sort of a clinical. I mean, this is a real thing. I've seen it. Have you seen it in your families? Have you seen it in people you know? Because I know people who I've known for years. And I got this one email. This or is a letter. I got a letter. I should have saved this one. This guy wrote me a letter. He was my very first editor when I was like 15 years old. All right, 15 years old. And I was a cub reporter at our local newspaper covering school board meetings. I was still in high school. And my job was basically the janitor of the newspaper as I was learning how to be a journalist. And one day, this is like 2 years ago, I had already moved back to Memphis. So this is like 15 years old. And so now I get this letter and it said, it was from this, I couldn't even remember the guy's name. And I felt really bad. Because you would have thought he would have had a bigger influence, but he really didn't. I just remember the guy never bathed. He smelled. I do remember that. So anyway, no, I'm not making fun of the guy. I'm just saying that was the, you know, some people leave an impression on you. I just didn't want to be downwind of the impression. That's all. So anyway, the guy's like, I can't believe I gave you a job in the newspaper. I'm like, dude, I was 15 years old. And the guy just slams me for being a Trump supporter. Unbelievable. So I'm seeing this, and there have been other people like, I actually got an email. I can no longer be your friend because you support Donald Trump. I'm like, what? What are you people talking about? And it's like, I realized, and I feel bad about that because I always want to try to salvage a relationship, and I try to go above and beyond to do that. And sometimes you just can't do it with Trump. You got to let him go. You got to let him go. And these people are miserable. They're miserable because they have been consumed with this TDS. And it's a horrible thing. And I think that's what I know Trump is at. You know, people are, I think they're reading this the wrong way. Because it does drive people crazy. And you can't be around those kinds of people. You know who it really has infected? A lot of churches. And some of the craziest, I mean, it's this, people think that you're Satan incarnate if you supported Donald Trump. It's really sad. So I think there's a portion of that there where Trump is trying to give the guy his due, but also reminding people, this guy hated Donald Trump and said things about Donald Trump that were so awful and so terrible. And then the media is jumping on this. How dare he? Where is his humanity? He's the president of the United States, for God's sakes. Nobody does that. Respect the dead. Really? Really? That's what we're supposed to do now, is respect the dead? Because every time a conservative dies, the media and Hollywood go bonkers crazy. And it's disgusting. And I remember when Rush Limbaugh died, here's the headline from Breitbart back at the time. Rob Reiner attacks Rush Limbaugh as purveyor of disinformation day after his death. According to Breitbart, a day after Rush died, Rob Reiner attacked the late conservative radio host, saying that Americans must protect democracy from others like him. Rob Reiner launched a social media attack on the late Limbaugh by calling him a liar, warning that other conservative media personalities are trying to deny climate change. To protect our democracy, we must remain vigilant in calling out their big lies, he said, starting with climate change. Reiner is the latest left-wing Hollywood elite to attack Limbaugh following news of his death. Stars including Ron Perlman, John Cusack, Rosanna Arquette, celebrity couple Amber Tamblyn, and David Cross hurled nasty insults at the late Limbaugh, variously wishing that he, quote, rots in hell and spends eternity with the devil. Other establishment leftist and mainstream media personalities joined the pylon, describing Limbaugh as a bigot, accusing him of hateful commentary. Last year, Reiner expressed his unequivocal hatred of Limbaugh when the radio host received the Medal of Freedom during Trump's State of the Union address. I loathe this blanking man, Reiner tweeted. So, spare me the righteous indignation here. Because the left and Hollywood and the mainstream media, they're the ones that set all the rules. They're the ones. So pardon me if I'm cutting President Trump a little slack here. Because Trump is making a point. But when you look at the media coverage, President Trump slammed for post on Rob Reiner's death. Trump blames Reiner's Trump derangement syndrome for director's murder. Trump sustains political attack on Rob Reiner, an inflammatory post. You want to know inflammatory? Inflammatory? Why don't you go back and look at all the headlines when Rush Limbaugh died? The Los Angeles Times, Rush Limbaugh died as he lived, dividing America. Consider this one. A lot of folks are very happy Rush Limbaugh is dead. These are actual headlines in news publications. The Rolling Stone, Rush Limbaugh, right-wing radio host who trafficked in bigotry and cruelty, dead at 70. So spare me what you're upset, your butt hurt because of what Trump had to say about what, Rob Reiner? This is great. A conservative news talker. Trump gives harsh response to Rob Reiner's death. Is it a harsh response or is it a real response? Because Rob Reiner was crazed in his later years. Kind of like Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, she's slap crazy now. And I feel for these. I really do. But I'm telling you, people need to go get some therapy because this is weird, man. It's just weird. 901-260-5926. We're going to take your calls on this. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. You know, Dylan, I'm a big fan of Taylor Sheridan. I've been watching just about everything he does on Paramount. And, of course, Landman is back. You know, Tulsa King. He had, of course, the Yellowstone series, which was phenomenal until the end. That was sad. I wish Kevin Costner would have, you know, they would have worked things out, patch up that relationship. But it didn't work out, so there you go. But Landman, have you had a chance to see that one yet?
Paramount is like the only subscription I don't have.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to get it. It's really so well done, and it's a guy's show, and it's Billy Bob Thornton is just crushing it. And then they brought in Sam Elliott this year, who is just awesome.
His voice.
Oh, my gosh.
Every Ford truck commercial, you've heard Sam Elliott.
It's great. I love my... No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
And Barnyard. Fun fact.
Oh, that is that right?
Yes.
No, what character did he play in
Barnyard? He was like the papa cow that like died to the coyotes. It was like the most tragic like kids movie you'll ever see.
That's sad.
But his voice makes it so much more emotional.
So the son is played by a guy by the name of Jacob Laughlin, who is excellent. And he's a young guy, and he's bone thin in real life, just really skinny kid. And there's a great line. They were at a restaurant, the diner, and the waitress says, "You look like you could hula hoop through a Cheerio." And then Billy Bob Thornton's character says, "Son, that's not a compliment. Eat some biscuits." So anyway, as the series goes, I don't want to give it all away, but Sam Elliott plays Billy Bob Thornton's father. And so the father was basically languishing in some sort of an old folks home. So they brought him to live with them, and they told him to go and watch The View. And so the guy, he didn't understand what The View was, talking about Whoopi and all those folks. So anyway, this is a clip of Billy Bob Thornton explaining to Sam Elliott what The View is.
What do you need? I don't know what to do.
Do whatever you want to. Read a book, watch TV, watch one of them daytime talk shows.
You know, like The View or something. What's The View?
Bunch of pissed off millionaires about how much they hate millionaires and Trump and men and you and me and
everybody else they got to be up their ass about. It's pretty funny. Don't sound funny.
Well, it ain't joke funny. It's like farting church funny, you know what I mean?
That don't sound funny either. Well, it depends on your proximity to the fart.
What a perfect description of The View. You ever farted in church, Dylan?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
of course. It's yeah. It's silent. Kind of a rite of passage in the Baptist faith tradition.
Yeah, yeah. Silent but deadly is really what it is. Mm,
my goodness. Best church service ever. We had two old fellas, and they were sweet on the same girl. They liked the same girl. And they got caught passing notes, and one of the guys intervened. He got the note, and it's like right in the middle of the pastor's sermon, there was like a fist fight in the church in the youth section.
That's the best service you've been to.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I'd never seen the spirit move.
Right.
And what was so bad about it is after that, we all had to sit with our parents during worship on Sunday.
Now that's some. Yeah, you'll never forget the first time your mom looks at you in church.
Or if your mom's in the choir and she gives you the look from the choir loft,
you're in trouble at home.
You're in big trouble, big trouble. This story out of New York State. Parents in Fonda, New York, want to know why the annual Christmas concert of the local elementary school was canceled. The children there at Fonda Fultonville Elementary had worked very hard to learn the songs. One particular song caused some controversy. The song is called "Oh, What a Special Night," and it tells the birth of Christ from the perspective of the animals around the manger scene. Now, at the end of each verse, the children sang, "Thank you, God, for baby Jesus." So it was something like, "The cow goes moo moo. Thank you, God, for the baby Jesus. The sheep goes, ba, ba. Thank you, God, for baby Jesus." That's kind of how it works. So anyway, the school district confirmed the song was removed from the concert after somebody complained. They reached out to their attorneys, and so they pulled the song. And then after that, well, they canceled the entire concert. And parents are going, what the heck is going on here? Now, some of the parents are alleging that a teacher took offense at the phrase baby Jesus and said that was triggering. Now, the school said the song is not the reason why they canceled the show. So the local TV station show up. The local newspaper shows up. All right, so if Jesus was not the reason why you canceled the show, why did you cancel the children's Christmas pageant? And they refused to give an answer. They said, well, we can't tell you. But what we can tell you is it had nothing to do with the baby Jesus. Did somebody complain? We can't tell you. Why not? This, to me, this does not seem like it's all that controversial. We know exactly what happened. One of these godless heathen teachers got triggered by the name of Jesus Christ and threatened to sue the school district. Why can't the school district just come out and say that? One parent said that her 8-year-old daughter was in tears over the cancellation. I think she was a chicken or something. I don't know what in the barnyard story. I don't know. It's really sad. There was apparently no room in the inn for Jesus and no room for our Lord in a grade school Christmas pageant. What is going on, America? We'll be right back. So we were talking about our brand new sponsor, the Upside app, and how you're saving all this money on gas, on top of the fact that gas prices across the nation are plummeting. I want you to take a listen. We have some audio here of from a TV station, and they're trying to, the Democrats are melting down over this because they don't want people to think that the economy is getting better. Take a listen to Cut 16.
I'm surprised. It's relieving, actually, because prices in Washington are so high. So it's really nice to be able to fill up my tank with like $30.
Another local saying this Christmas miracle couldn't come at a better time.
Yeah, very happy, especially with the holidays coming up and the traveling, the expenses, it adds up. So low prices, low gas prices, especially, it helps a lot, especially with the big family.
And others, the tariffs aren't working. It's hurting the American workers. Really? All right. Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Mike Appling, the chief executive officer and the owner of Lift High Crane and Rigging. Mike, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Mr. Starnes. I'm glad to be on.
Well, let's just cut right to the chase. These tariffs, if you watch the news, people are telling you the tariffs are not working. But I'm curious, in your line of work, what have you experienced? What have you seen?
Well, and yeah, there's a lot of different opinions on the tariffs and what's working and what's not working. In our industry, they are definitely working to completely shut down the purchase of cranes, and it's in a really bad situation right now. You typically have cranes coming in. All-terrain cranes are made primarily in Germany. There's less than 3% of all-terrain cranes that are manufactured in the United States. And when the reciprocal tariffs came on, people were kind of like, okay, we're going to work through it. And the buyers like myself worked out transactions with the manufacturers on how to split that. And it caused a bit of a pause for a period of time, but then on August 15th, they put the 50% steel tariff on top of the reciprocal, and that just really kind of shut down the market. And so there's hardly been any cranes that have moved into the United States over the last 3 or 4 months with the 15% reciprocal and the 50% steel. It's made it really cost prohibitive. And it's at a time where the demand has really shot through the roof for good reasons. I mean, we're building chip plants. I mean, everybody in the crane industry is supportive of reshoring manufacturing. And whether it's the chip plants or the data centers or specialty manufacturing, the bridge beam market seems to be going really well after a pause. around COVID, so you have spiking demand and no supply of new cranes coming in. And it's just really causing job delays and cancellations, and it's really become a problem.
And again, this is not terribly surprising, because there are going to be some unintended consequences of this. But to be clear, you are pro-tariff, and you're also pro-Trump.
Well, I'm pro the administration trying to build manufacturing here, absolutely. And I'm pro-tariff where it makes sense. The example that I like to use is, if Germany is charging us 30% for Ford Explorers to come into Germany, then we should absolutely charge 30% for X5s to come into the United States. But when it's a situation where we can't even buy those cranes here, then putting tariffs is just causing increased cost and disruption to the business.
So what are you recommending the administration do?
Well, just what they're exactly doing on coffee and some other things. I mean, when they have figured out that market is really not here, and look, if there's a situation where we can go build multiple crane plants over the next 4 to 5 years, then, you know, we can take a look at that. But the way they did the exemptions for coffee and many other items, when that actual item is not manufactured here, that's what makes the most sense.
Got it. All right. And Mike, if people want to get more information about the work you guys are doing, you guys are based in Houston, is that right?
Yes, sir, we are.
Okay. So where can people, is there a website if people want to get more information about what you guys do?
It's www.lifthighcrane.com. And if they wanted more information on the tariffs, they can look up SCNRA, which is the Specialized Carrier and Rigging Association. And that's the crane group that represents the entire industry. And they have white papers and articles and all kind of stuff on what's happening with this.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Mike, we wish you guys nothing but the best. And let's see how all this plays out at the end of the day. Mike Appling, the CEO and owner of Lift High Crane and Rigging. Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, sir.
All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back to this this story out of New York, where a mom is now speaking out. The elementary school canceling they don't even call it a Christmas concert. It's a holiday concert, because the teacher did not like the fact that Jesus was involved in one of the songs. Take a listen.
I'm sorry, but my school district, where my kids go to school, they're canceling a holiday concert that the elementary class puts on because one of the teachers did not like that Jesus was involved in one of the songs. The kids have to say Jesus in a Christmas song. So now the district, the elementary school, said, okay, we're not even going to have a concert. After the kids have been practicing, they already had a date and time. The kids have been practicing. The families were ready to show up. Now kids are going home crying because they were so excited to do this concert. And the school just said, nah, we're not going to do it. One person does not agree that they should be singing a song about Jesus. Now I need to homeschool 3 kids.
Oh, geez, hello. Good luck, ma'am. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to have a Christmas concert. We did the whole, I mean, it was Mississippi, so what are you going to do? We did everything short of having an altar call. But we had, like, the nativity scene, we had the baby Jesus, you had people playing shepherds and wise men, and we all sang the traditional Christmas carols. And I don't think anybody got bent out of shape at all. I think people loved it. And I'm wondering, at what point did that become such a bad thing that it's okay to get up there and, Dylan, you were in the South Haven High School marching band back in the day. I don't know. Why do I remember this? You were in the Christmas parade.
Yes.
And they hauled us down there. to Mississippi to watch the parade. And let's see, there was the Sons of the Confederacy marching on horseback, which was coming out. It was like so dark, right? There were only like street lights.
There wasn't a lot of light out there, Todd, no.
I just like, wait a second, did somebody declare war again? What's going on here? So you had the guys on horseback in full Confederate regalia. Then you had the United Methodist Church. No, you had the sewage company that had the big sign that says spreading Christmas cheer.
Yes.
Then you had the United Methodist Church with the baby Jesus, the whole nativity scene, and you had an urban dance team from Memphis that was doing the whip and nay-nay.
Right, right, yeah. You have to, you know, it's include everybody in our Christmas parade.
Baby Jesus didn't need to see that.
It's right behind him.
I don't think I did either.
I'm thankful that I don't remember that because we were on a tight schedule as the band, so.
And
I'm
then
glad
they were,
I didn't see that.
Then they were throwing candy like it was some sort of a Mardi Gras parade. I got nailed by like one of those caramels.
Yeah, they don't mess around over there.
Oh, it was butterscotch, I remember. I'm like, yeah. What is that yellow? Boom.
That'll leave a mark.
Right upside the forehead.
Hard candy's tough to throw. You shouldn't be, you got to toss. It's an underhand.
Yeah, no, they were pecking people. I mean, they were like, yeah, they were aiming for, they were trying to draw blood. Mm-hmm. I had an indentation on my forehead, a little big red dot, looked like an Indian.
But it tastes good. It's candy.
Oh, well, the candy is good. Butterscotch is always good.
It's great candy.
Yeah, you got to love that. So anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yes. So at what point did it become like a crime to celebrate the reason for the season? When did that happen? I feel bad for kids nowadays. I remember back when I was at Fox News Channel, we used to do these stories all the time. They had one teacher who banned candy canes because she was afraid people are going to like become Christians if they slurp the candy cane. What's wrong with you people? All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Radio Show. There's a guy by the name of John Guandolo. He's a former FBI agent, and he does a great job of really explaining what Islam is really all about. Cut 13.
The entire purpose of Islam, according to all Islamic doctrine, is to ensure that there is an Islamic state throughout the entire world called a caliphate, and under that, Sharia or Islamic law is the law of the land. That's it. Islam is no more complicated than that. Islam breaks the entire world into two parts. The Dar al-Islam, where Sharia is the law of the land, and the Dar al-Harb, the house or abode of war, where there is not Sharia as the law of the land. The function of Islam is to eliminate the Dar al-Harb until the entire world is a Dar al-Islam. And the vehicle to do that is called what? Jihad, which in 100% of all published Islamic law is only defined as warfare against non-Muslims. So let's just put that on the line. And so we're here talking national security issues. We have people here that are running for the office of President of the United States. And we have to begin there. And what I would put forth is that since, and actually prior to, but since 9/11, our entire national security apparatus has been unprofessional in its approach to this war, from the four-star generals to the office of the president, to the national security staff, to the leaders of DHS when it was created, the FBI, the CIA, and other agencies. Because we have said this has nothing to do with Islam, despite the fact that our warfighting doctrine says when you analyze an enemy, you start with who he says he is and why he's fighting. And 100% of this enemy that we're facing, from the jihadi in Chattanooga to the 9/11 hijackers and everybody before and in between, have all said we're Muslims waging jihad in the cause of Allah in order to impose Islamic law and establish caliphate, period. So that's what it is. And if we look in Islamic law, authoritative Islamic law, the kind you get at mosque bookstores, not at Barnes & Noble, you will see that 100% of them say that jihad is warfare against non-Muslims. And it's total warfare. It's not just guns and bombs. It's psychological warfare. It is political warfare. It's subversion. It is the whole nine yards. It's total warfare, something that our DOD has not been practicing. I would say you'd have to go back towards Reagan administration and maybe even beyond that. Complete and total war against non-Muslims.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And he's, look, that's it in a nutshell. This is what they're dealing with in the UK and in Belgium and France and Germany. And it's also what's happening in Australia right now, where you have Australian leaders that are trying to say the bigger problem is right-wing extremism. I mean, it's like they're taking Barack Hussein Obama's playbook. Cut number 15, please.
This goes to a much deeper question about immigration. The father was not an Australian citizen. He was on a visa. And so the real question is, who are we letting into our country? And I know the Australian people have had a gutful. And I think we need to narrow very dramatically those who we let into our country. They need to support Australian values, faith, reason, inquiry, debate, persuasion. They need to support our country and our people. And what we saw yesterday were two people, and let's be clear here, it looks like radical militant Islam, who used guns to cut down people, innocent people, during a very significant religious festival, Hanukkah. And that's why I'm angry. That's why so many people are angry, because our political class has to wake up. I want to see people come into this country who speak English, who support Australian values, like I said, faith, reason, inquiry, debate, persuasion. There's this also this idea we are a Judeo-Christian country in the sense that that's the basis on which our democracy works. Every single person made in the image of God, which means it doesn't matter what race you are, what ethnicity you are. And the great, evil, ugly lie of anti-Semitism is that Jewish people are somehow of bad character because of their ethnicity. And that's just unacceptable. So we should be screening people for anti-Semitism. We should be asking them very explicitly to sign up to the values of our country. And there's a whole number of ways that we can do it. But we're not doing it effectively, obviously, because we have this problem. You know, we have these two people yesterday committing murder on the streets of Bondi. So something's got to change.
But you can't do that. You can't tell people to assimilate. That's xenophobic. I mean, that's what they tell us all the time. But even the Australians, they get it. I mean, look, when you see what's happening in the UK, where the average British citizen, they get it. They understand. You know, there were people who literally were told they could not raise the Union Jack because it might offend Muslims. What's that all about? I mean, the fact of the matter is when you have the King of England now bowing down, I mean, the King of England is the head of the Church of England, and he's literally bowing down to the Islamist. Well, I mean, what kind of a message does that send? Cut 14, please.
You keep voting for these bastards that actually don't have pride in our country and our Australian flag, then be prepared to get what we're going to get. And we've seen it now with the division that is happening, the hatred that we see on the streets, the escalating crime, and that's only going to escalate even further unless we take a stand on this and make sure you know who you vote for next time. And if you look at what's happened in England, Birmingham, 30% of Muslims there, and they're taking over the councils. You've got, you know, Sharia law court. They're losing their identity, their culture in England, and the same damn thing is going to happen here. It is an absolute basket case of what's happening out there, and no wonder the Australian people are so angry. But I'll keep fighting about the mass migration. It is about mass immigration that's happening here, and it's destroying our standard of living, way of life, and our access to services that every Australian has a right to. But the government brings them in purely for the vote, and the fools out there keep voting for them. You're going to suffer. You will suffer.
Mm. Yeah, she is not wrong there. We will continue that conversation later this evening on the Newsmax show. Again, just want to remind you, go check out our brand new sponsor. Download their app, the Upside app. Type in Wealth25. There will be a code. It'll ask you to insert a code. Wealth25. It's going to unlock so many incredible savings for you and cash back opportunities. I'm excited about this. They say on average, the average Upside user gets about $300 in cash. That's a pretty darn good deal. So again, Wealth25 the code. Download the Upside app and let me know how it goes for you. All right, we've got to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. ToddStearns.com. Go and check out our great website. Download our free podcast and newsletter. Those are some great resources for you. Have a great one, everybody.